Bolt reel number 3. Now, when you went to the balloon school in 1909, the commanding officer at that time was Colonel J.E. Capper. Can you tell me what recollections you have of Colonel Capper?
Yes, Colonel Capper was the CO of the balloon section of Royal Engineers. Very rarely did we see him on parade. On the last Saturday of every month, he would take the general parade of the balloon section. He was on horseback, but his wife was always there on the parade, and we had to treat her as if she was an officer, and anyone that went past her without saluting were for it. I remember one Saturday, Colonel Capper, before he made his general inspection, he always inspected the officers first. He came to Lieutenant Waterlow, on the photograph, and he told him to lift his foot. He lifted his foot. Couldn't be heard what he said, but we could see that he told him in front of all the parade to go and change his shoes because his heels right down on one shoe. Heel was right down. He dismissed the parade, but they had to stand by or shoe them at knees and give permission for the others to smoke if they wished to. And the parade would form up as soon as Lieutenant Wartlow returned wearing a proper pair of shoes. Then the parade carried on as usual. We always went for a route march. Usually we marched to Camberley and back. Then were dismissed on return.
This was immediately after the parade, wasn't
it? Yes. Marched back to Blenheim Barracks, were dismissed. But Colonel Capper used to go up in the balloons now and again, but never had anything to do with the airships. The two airships we had, the Beta and the Gamma then. But as regards to being the officer commanding, as I previously said, he only came on parade once a month. Otherwise, we see nothing. See nothing of him at all.
Mm. Do you think he was more interested in the aeroplane side of the balloon section's activity?
Well, he used to go down to the two machines, but he didn't seem to have any further interest in anything at all. I don't remember him going up in the airships at any time. But
what about the aeroplanes? Was he very interested in those?
No, he didn't even come on parade. We never used to see him on parade. He didn't come on parade. The one that usually took charge of the parade was Lieutenant Waterloo or Captain Carden, who was one arm. And then Lord Brabazon, he came to us. He was one of the first officers that came to the
Now, I know that another of the officers serving with the balloon section at this time was Captain Carden. Could you tell me what you recollect of him?
Well, Captain Carden had one arm only. He was a meteorological, I can't get some of the words out properly, officer, and used to look after the technical side, but did very little flying in balloons or the airships. He was mostly doing office work. And he carried on as that until the Air Battalion were formed, when he still carried on with his technical work during the Air Battalion days.
Can you remember any details of the kind of work he was doing in the field of meteorology?
Well, he was in the office, and we had a quartermaster sergeant Bannister who used to work with him in the office, but it was a small, very small office, and we seen very little of him when we were working the balloons or kites. He was there sometimes, but mostly doing the office work of what had to be done.
What was your impression of him as a person? His personal qualities?
Very, very nice man. He seemed to understand what the sappers and NCOs were trying to do, and he was always very helpful to anyone that wanted experience, especially on the
meteorology side. Did you have any direct relationships with him yourself?
Only
any that you remember?
Well, sometimes I might be working and he'd ask me questions about balloons and the repairs of balloons, patching, and also though he didn't go there much, he was more interested in kites than what he wanted balloons. I suppose because he was actually second in command to Colonel Capper, and Capper was never on parade.
Yes.
But otherwise, I'm saying it was from 1909 to 1911, and he never used to attend the parades.
Hmm.
Only the once a month. Hmm. The monthly parade.
Did you get any opinions, perhaps from other officers, about the accuracy of his work in the meteorology field?
Yes, they all seemed to get on, and things that he did always seemed to turn out on the right side.
So his forecasting was fairly accurate?
Very accurate in his knowledge of what he was trying to get others to do.
Now, could you tell me the way in which Farnborough altered between the time you first went there in 1909 and the year that you left in 1914?
In 1909, we just had the balloons, Cody kites, and one airship, the Beta. From 1909 to 1911, it started building sheds, airplane sheds, very slowly, until the Air Battalion was formed in 1911. Then it started getting bigger. There were more sheds being built for machines that were on the point of being bought. Then we had two machines on Jersey Brow.
When you say machines, are you referring to aeroplanes?
Aeroplanes, or? Aeroplanes. We had two aeroplanes on Jersey Brow, and in 1913, they had to stop flying the Cody kites because they were dangerous to the machines, the aeroplanes, that were gradually growing up in number, were flying around Farnborough Aerodrome. Eventually, when the kites were done away with, there were more machines and more aeroplanes and more hangars being built to accommodate them until 1914, when the war broke out and more squadrons were forming up in different places. Mm. Now, number one was eventually the airship squadron. Mm. It was known as number one airship squadron. There was two squadron that was formed in Scotland. Number three, four and five were being formed at Netheravon. Number six at Upavon. Then they started opening as the war was approaching. They started building further squadrons. More people were coming into the Flying Corps, and eventually the war broke out.
Can I take you back to the earlier years? I believe 1909. Most of the aeroplane activity at Farnborough was in the hands of civilians, people like Colonel Cody, so-called, and Mr. Rolls.
Well, no.
Now, in 1909, there wasn't very much in the way of aeroplane activity at Farnborough that was going on officially under the control of the army, but there were civilians, men like Cody, who were making experiments with aeroplanes.
Yes.
What do you remember about him and his work?
Well, when I went to Farnborough, Cody had his own machine, a civilian machine. There were only two other flying machines, and they were on Jersey Brow, which were run by the Air Battalion.
And what date was this?
In 1909 to 10. Cody, when I went to Farnborough 09, was doing practice flights for a long time before he got off the ground. I remember one of his successful flights when I was one of the markers to hold a flag, when he circled for a mile, just over a mile. And there were 12 of us with Corporal Ridd, the first NCO pilot of the balloon section or flying corps. He was in charge of the 12 men. We stood there with flags until Cody had made a successful circuit of a mile and landed on the plane, and we all came towards the machine and were all around when Cody said, "Corporal, here's a plan. Take these men to the Queen's Hotel," which is close. "Take these men to the Queen's Hotel and buy them a drink." He said, "That's the only pound I've got." left.
Now, Cody had a shed at Farnborough, didn't he?
Yeah, is one shed and two sons, Liam and Vivian.
They worked with him, did they?
They worked with him in the shed. When Cody was making his flights, the balloon section always volunteered to lend a few men to help in bringing the machine out and putting it back into the hangar, as it was too heavy for two or three men to carry it. It took at least six to eight men at least six to eight men to bring the machine out and hold it whilst the engines were running up.
What airplane did he have at that time?
This was one of his own. Called the Cody Buck.